I thought a lot about Ebenezer Scrooge last week. And I know, last Advent we talked all about A Christmas Carol, but that seems like a million years ago, and I think we can all agree that we kind of want to forget all about 2020. So let's just put all that aside and bear with me for a moment. We talk a lot about Scrooge's transformation, how he starts off in the story as this, you know, greedy, miserable old miser, and by the end he is this joyful, incredibly happy. He's a totally different person. But I don't think that's really the miracle. And I don't think that's why this story has been so inspiring to so many for so long. Paul writes to his people in Galatia, "Live by the Spirit. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want." Now, we could take this to mean simply that we are supposed to do what the Spirit tells us to do, but there is all of this other stuff that we really want to do instead. And, of course, there are gobs and gobs of sermons about that. What if it's something more, though? I mean, do any of us really want to live lives of impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, envy? Hopefully the answer is no. And if it is, then why do we so often find ourselves living these lives? Why is it so hard to find peace? If we were able to sit down with Ebenezer Scrooge, maybe in that melancholy tavern where he goes every night, right before his Christmas experience, and we were able to ask him, "Why do you act in this way? Why are you so angry? Why are you so grouchy? Why are you so miserable? Why do you continue to hurt people?" I don't know that Scrooge would have been able to honestly answer that question. I mean, he might have given some gruff response of, you know, "Well, it's because I live in a world of fools such as this," or he would have probably just said, "Bah, humbug." But of course, that's not the real reason. The real reason we discover is what the Spirit reveals to him in his past. A past of being left alone as a child, a past of being seen as a burden, as a waste of space. A past of being forgotten. So much so that Scrooge forgets himself. But there were times, there were glimpses when Scrooge saw himself as happy and joyful. Kind of how we talked about last week. Glimpses of when he smiled and laughed and danced and was in love. Times when he was at peace. And he remembered. Scrooge made his own choices, of course, but the unrest, the conceit, the envy that we can feel at times, that we act upon, this division and even this war within ourselves that Paul was referring to can oftentimes stem from who and what we think we are supposed to be based on what other forces have told us. You are a burden. You are a waste of space. You should be alone. And in the midst of those other forces, we forget who we really are. The kind of peace Paul is writing about, the kind that is the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit that keeps us rooted, this is not a kind of peace that is just about getting along with everyone, not making a fuss, not just trying to quell arguments, because sometimes arguments need to be had. We're very familiar with that phrase, peace and quiet, but peace does not, nor should not, always go with quiet. Sometimes to achieve peace, we have to be loud and be a part of some pretty uncomfortable conversations. But even for that to happen, in the true spirit Paul is referring to, we have to make sure that we are being loud for the right reasons, that it is about what we are trying to achieve peace for, who we are trying to achieve peace for, and not that it's for our own satisfaction. When we think and act out of conceit, out of competition, out of envy, we are not at peace. I mean, have you ever thought about how much energy it takes to be competitive and to be envious, always thinking and planning on how to one-up that other person? It's exhausting. Because not only are you having to spend all of that time trying to outdo that other person, coming up with these impressive displays, but we also have to be constantly anticipating that other person, what it is that they're going to do, how they're going to do it, what they're going to say. All the while, of course, trying to appear like we're not in competition, because that would just mean that we're shallow. It also deflects the real reason we are not at peace with others, with the world, with ourselves, with God. This has not been a peaceful time. It has been hard. It has been exhausting. It has been divisive. It has been hurtful. Some people, some friends, some family members have walked away from each other. We have formed shells and shields around ourselves, and it can be easy in times like these to forget. One of the many underrated but incredibly important lines of A Christmas Carol is when the spirit of Christmas past first appears to Scrooge, and Scrooge asks why the spirit is there, and the spirit answers, "Your reclamation." And just in case we don't know, that word means the process of claiming something back. And of course, in this context, the process of claiming someone back. Last week, Pastor David showed us that video of the two boys laughing with the orange soda and saying that at some point, perhaps as we get older, so many of us lose that joy. We can also lose that peace that is so interdependent and connected with joy, that peace of just being who we are and being okay with that. Through this pandemic, I've seen people come out of their shells for what I thought anyway was the first time. And as I commented about that with other people who had known those individuals for longer, they would say to me, "That's how they used to be. That's how I remember them." In confirmation class, we've been talking about John Wesley's life and how he often struggled and doubted with himself, with his faith. And in his time with the Moravian missionaries, they taught him this theology, "Preach it till you believe it." In our modern language, we might say, "Fake it till you make it." I struggle with that. I struggle with this idea that we're just supposed to act a certain way until it becomes part of who we are, or we have those thoughts and feelings. I think many times we can take the words of Paul to mean that we would rather be conceited, we would rather be angry, we would rather be envious, but in order to not make God mad at us when Christ comes back, we have to instead be joyful and peaceful and all those other fruits of the Spirit that we don't really want to do. We have to fake it till we make it. The miracle of Ebenezer Scrooge is not that he changes. It's not that he transforms. When he wakes up in his own bed on Christmas morning and he realizes that he has been forgiven, he realizes that he has been restored, he realizes that he has been reclaimed, it's because he has remembered who he really was supposed to be all along. Isaiah 26:3 reminds us, "Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace, because in peace they trust in you." We trust in the one who has reclaimed us, who has helped us remember who we are, who has given us peace. In Hebrews 12:14, "Pursue that peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." This is the peace we are to share with the world, to remind others that they are to be reclaimed as well, so that they may remember who they truly are. And then one of those other underrated lines toward the end of the story about Scrooge, that as people saw this newness to him, this kind of going back to who he was, this joyful, carefree person, that many people laughed at him. And the narration says that Scrooge just let them laugh. That's what it means to be at peace. The peace and the knowledge of who it is that we truly are as people of God. That's the kind of peace that Paul is writing about. And in fact, that's what all of these fruits of the Spirit are about. Joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness. This isn't the things that we are supposed to fake until we make, that we are to preach until we believe. The fruits of the Spirit are all about who we truly are as children of God. So I invite you to look at these fruits of the Spirit, not as goals, not as tasks, not as habits. I invite you to look at them as reminders, and to hear that Spirit say to you, do you remember? Do you remember how it used to be? This is who you used to be. And this is who we all can be again. Be this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. O gracious, holy God, we acknowledge, and even especially in this moment, we confess that many times we are not at peace. We struggle with our call, we struggle with our life, we struggle with our circumstances, we struggle with our identity. And perhaps especially in this season, we struggle to remember what it meant to be in the midst of your fruit and of your Spirit, to be fruitful, to be Spirit-full. And so as we are about to approach this table, wherever we are, may this be a time in which not only we are fed, but we are reminded. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After John Wesley had that famous heartwarming experience and started going out to the people and forming relationships, part of his theology that continued to evolve was this idea of the image of God, that God bestows this image upon all of us. And so the transformation that we experience is not as much into a whole completely different being, but in fact, going back to who we were at the time of creation, going back to who we were supposed to be all along, that when we hear that Spirit calling us upon that new path, we actually remember that that's the path that we started. When the Spirit says, see, this is where you were. This is who you were. And as we've experienced that restoration, that transformation, we will continue to experience, it is our hope, not into a completely new person, but the person that we were created to be from day one. And that as we get back to that, as we get back into the fruits and into the spirits, we will see who God has called the world to be from the beginning. And so may we go in that restoration and in that transformation, in finding that peace, the peace of who we are supposed to be as God's people. And as we experience that for ourselves, may we share that peace with the world. Amen.